Go ahead and turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of 1 John. The book of 1 John. And we're going to be in 1 John chapter 1. But, you know, so often we get ourselves to a point to where we just don't see Jesus as our friend the way we should. And I just want to encourage you to realize that, you know, when the Bible says he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother, there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. That is Jesus. I mean, he's done everything he could possibly do to show us that he's available for us, and yet we don't call on him like we do. We don't fellowship and we don't talk with him. And today I want to talk to you about fellowship. If you kind of notice the songs have been talking about a relationship with God, isn't it? And let's take our Bibles, 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness, and shew unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Heavenly Father, thank you for everything you've given us, and I just thank you for the Word of God we've read. And I just pray you'd help me this morning to talk about our fellowship with you in such a way that it help people desire to have fellowship with you. Lord, if there's one that's lost, we pray for their salvation. We pray that today would be the day they'd see their need for a Savior and see Jesus as the Savior, that they would put their faith and trust in him, that they would repent and believe the gospel and be saved. Lord, we just ask your help in that regard. Father, I can speak to the faces, but I need the Spirit of God to speak to the hearts. And Lord, I just pray you'd use me in a good and godly way today that would make a difference in people's lives. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help me to preach the word faithfully. Thank you, Father, for loving us. Thank you for the fact that we do indeed have such a friend. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I'll get into the message here in just a second, but sometimes, you know, I just like to sing. I don't know about you. Do you ever like to just sing? You ever like to sing? Most of us, we sing. We don't want people to hear us, do we? But, you know, it'd be good if people got to singing more and started praising the Lord more, but there's a song called number 403 called He Giveth More Grace. And I just want to sing it because I was just thinking about it today, and I was just thinking, man, that's got a wonderful message in it. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, he addeth his mercy. To multiply trials, his multiplied peace. His love has no limit, His grace has no measure, His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed, ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's forgiving is only begun. His love has no limit, His grace has no measure, His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again. Fear not that thy need shall exceed His provision. Our God ever yearns His resources to share. Lean hard on the arm everlasting availing. The Father both thee and thy load will upbear. His love has no limit, His grace has no measure, His power has no boundaries known unto men. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again. Amen. Amen. I don't know why we don't just go to God all the time when we have trouble. I don't know if He's not the first call, why He's not the first call we make. But I'd like to talk to you this morning about fellowship with God. You know, we talk a lot about fellowship among believers, and I actually posted on the church Facebook page this morning. I posted a couple scriptures. I posted out of Psalm 122 where David said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go in the house of the Lord." And then also in the book of Hebrews where he said that we're to provoke one another unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another all the more as you see the day approaching. And I've been trying to post, you know, a scripture or two on that Facebook page every day just to have something for people to see, the Word of God. And so I posted that. And we talk a lot about fellowship with one another, with believers, and we should. And like I said, you know, I was talking about Wednesday night. There are people that you would think that if they love their brethren, that they'd want to be with them. And I'm not talking about the folks that are providentially hindered because of age or infirmity or disease or whatever the case may be, or some circumstances beyond their control. I'm talking about people that could be in church today but aren't, because some point they made a conscious decision that it just wasn't worth it. And what they were saying when they did that, they were saying the people aren't worth it. They're not worthy of my fellowship. They're not worthy of me. And that's a sad thing. We're not the only church that has to deal with that. And so, but we talk about fellowship among one another. But you know, our fellowship with each other will never be what it needs to be if our fellowship with God isn't what it needs to be. And the truth of the matter is, the people the people that we mourn the loss of, and we see them out in the world, and we see them walk away from coming to church and being a part of it and being a part of the work of God in a local church and all that type of stuff, we grieve for them, but they didn't leave their brothers and sisters before they left God. And when we get to the point to where we don't care about our brothers and sisters in Christ, it's because we're getting to the point we don't care about God Himself. And that's where the real tragedy is. You remember that church at Laodicea, that church at Ephesus, rather, in the book of Revelation chapter 2, that church of Ephesus, Jesus commended them on all that they did, right? I mean, they labored, they hadn't fainted, they tried those that said they were apostles and found them liars. And they hadn't fainted, they kept... But he said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Even folks that are in church can be at odds and out of fellowship with God. We have to be careful about that. And so when we look at this, he starts out and he says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. That means that this is the Apostle John. I know some people like to try to say that this wasn't the Apostle John, it was some other John that wrote this. No, it's the Apostle John. He said that we've looked upon, that our hands have handled. It was John who at the Last Supper leaned upon Jesus' breast, wasn't it? I mean, he said, we put our hands on him. We didn't just look upon him. We didn't just see, behold him with our eyes. We didn't just look upon him. We touched him. We walked with him. We had that type of fellowship. And he said, for the life was manifested, we have seen it, bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And I'll say another thing about when it comes to fellowshipping with God. A lot of times people leave a church because, oh, they're just, you know, you always hear the thing about people, you know, churches that preach a high standard and preach walking with God and accountability to God and teach about trying to exhort people to holiness and righteousness and godliness. What happens is people don't like that. They want something that appeals to them. They want something that, it's not enough for them that people would sing from their hearts, right, and praise God. They got to have, you know, a big band or something. And I'm not against big bands, don't get me wrong. I would love it if we had an entire orchestra and people that could play instruments and play and all that. And I'd love it if we had folks that could sing better than any of us that would get up here and sing and we would enjoy that. But you know, their singing, despite the fact they have a talent, isn't any better than your singing other than to our ears. Because there's plenty of people that sing gospel music but could care less about God. Right? There are folks out there that get paid big money to sing gospel music and they're not in church today. That's a fact. But man, we want the stuff that sounds the best, and I'm not against us having the best, and we ought to do our best for God and put our best foot forward and all that type of thing. But the bottom line is, if you're not in right fellowship with God, what good is all that? And if you leave a church that preaches holiness and preaches accountability and walking with God and all the different things like that, if you leave a church that does that for a church that makes you feel better about yourself, Saw an interesting thing the other day where a fellow was talking about people in their church and the pastors, and a lot of the pastors in the churches today, they're just kind of like that. You know, they're just trying to go down to the lowest common denominator. As far as how they present themselves, they just want to be one of the gang. They don't want to stand and reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. And I'm not better than you in any way, but I have a responsibility. I have a biblical responsibility to preach a certain way, don't I? To exhort people. And people don't like that. They don't want people to preach against sin anymore. You know, there's a whole list of subjects which we don't like our preachers to preach about, even though they're addressed in the Bible. And how can I possibly teach you the Bible if I leave parts out just to spare your feelings? But that's what we do. And people flock to churches that just won't say anything about what's right and what's good. People don't want to be dealt with about those things. And people get upset. And when you start preaching standards, they start preaching legalism. No, legalism is work salvation. Nobody here is preaching work salvation. But the Bible does say, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Look over 2 Corinthians chapter 7 if you don't believe me. But the simple fact is, we're supposed to preach holiness. We're supposed to live holiness. We're supposed to demand it of one another. We're supposed to hold one another accountable. And we're supposed to have a fellowship where we actually support one. Ye that are spiritual. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye that are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. We're supposed to have, there's supposed to be some accountability there among that. If you have genuine fellowship, there is accountability. And he's talking about the fellowship here, and he said, hey, we walked with Jesus, we talked with him, we ate with him, we touched him, our hands handled, we looked and we heard him, we saw him, and we're telling you that he is the Messiah. And he said, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Isn't that an amazing thing? This is written that your joy may be full. And so the whole idea of this great fellowship that we're talking about is that God's people would be full of joy. It's just an amazing thing when we look at so many professing Christians today, they don't have any joy. They don't have the desire and the great desire and fulfillment of being a Christian. And we see it all the time, and it shouldn't be that way. Psalm 16:11 says, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. That's Jesus. Who's at the right hand of the Father? That's Jesus. And so we're supposed to have some type of fulfillment, of some type of joy. We're supposed to have fellowship with our Father. And when he talks about that fellowship bringing joy and bringing pleasures, he's not talking about worldly pleasures. I mean, there are pleasures in this world that are perfectly legitimate, but they're not more important than spiritual pleasures. They're not more important than taking pleasure in your walk in relationship with God. And they can't produce the type of joy that we need to live as Christians. But all of that's a matter of fellowship. And then we're told, this then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Now we have to fight the darkness, that old sin nature in us. And praise God, we've been set free from it. We don't have to say yes to sin. We don't have to say yes to the flesh. We don't have to say yes to the world. But you know, the problem is we tend to gravitate and yield ourselves to those with whom we have fellowship. It is the fear of every parent that one day there is going to be a group of people that are going to influence their children more than they are. That's why we worry about who our kids are with. We're afraid about who they're going to be hanging around. If you're a good parent, you pay attention to who your kid is hanging out with and who he's friends with and all that type of stuff, because you know full well that if they get their ear, they're going to take them in a path that's going to lead to ruin. And you know, that's what's happened in our schools today. And you know, this is the problem. You know, I've said it many times, we get in our public schools, they have a totally different message and morality than the home does, than the church does. And the problem is, the biggest problem is, the church has a morality that they preach and teach. The home has a morality that they live, which probably and oftentimes does not match what's preached and taught in the church. So the homes have a different morality. Then they get to the school, and there's a whole different morality in there. And so they have three different moral systems that they have to try to navigate, and eventually they're going to choose one. And generally, it's the one they spend the most time in. By the way, that's not the home. It's the school and their friends and the TV and everything else. And then we wonder why our kids are in such a great state. We always talk about, oh, the generation gap. That's manufactured by the devil, by the way. Have you ever noticed that kids, there's that sin nature, that rebelliousness that's already there, that's made for it. I understand that, but the devil works very hard to make sure parents and children stay at odds for every generation. Why? Because he wants to destroy people. And we have that. But when we talk about fellowship with God, we have to understand that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. And so we don't... And you say, well, how could I possibly have fellowship with such a person? And that's what the blood of Jesus made possible. That's why what Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection made possible, where we could be reconciled to God, where we could actually have fellowship with our Father, that we could have that type of walk with Him, and God's opened the door to us. But the problem is, we try to stay at worldliness. You know, the Bible says, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore shall be the friend of the world shall be the enemy of God. We cast ourselves as enemies because we don't end up enemies because we have this struggle within ourselves. It's because we yield ourselves to the darkness. We yield ourselves to the flesh. We don't walk in the light. You know, if let me ask you a question. If we didn't have these nice windows that in the door that provides all this ambient light from the outside. I mean, we can turn off all the lights and most of us still be able to see pretty good. We'd be able to see to walk around. We could turn off everything in here. But if we didn't have all that light on the outside, right, and we shut off the lights and it was pitch black in here, you know what would happen? Some of you may have the foresight to have a flashlight in your pocket or in your purse. But almost every one of us today, we have one of these contraptions over here, you know, and it has a little light on it, right? And instead of stumbling around in the dark, there out would come the flashlight, right? Everybody would want to see then, wouldn't they? All right, and then when I was in the Navy and when I was shipboarding and working on the ships after I got out of the Navy, something we always had on us was a flashlight. Because you get down inside the skin of that ship and the generators and everything go offline and the electric plant goes offline, it's hard to see. And there's all kinds of things to run into. So you have to have light. Common sense says when the lights go out, somebody lights up something else, another source, right? We want to be, we don't want to walk around in darkness. We don't want to stumble and bang up our elbows and our shins and everything else or step off into a hole. But spiritually, we don't use the same sense, do we? We don't do the same thing. And he tells us if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. And I'm not telling you anything you don't already know, beloved. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know and understand. I think it's good that we get reminded of it. You know, we get out in the world and it's easy to grab on to the darkness. Boy, there's temptations out there and all this type of stuff. And all manner of things, there's temptations like crazy out there. You get on the television, there's temptations. You get on the internet, there's temptations. You go out walking in the world anywhere, there are temptations, aren't there? There's all this darkness around us. It's real easy to fall into it. But the problem is, when we get to a point where the lights go out, we just keep stumbling around in the darkness. And if we say that we have fellowship with God and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. We're not maintaining our fellowship. You know, if you're every time you called your friend and it went to voicemail and he never called you back, you'd begin wondering about what kind of fellowship you had, wouldn't you? And that's what we do with God. We get involved in sinful practices. We yield to some temptation and we find and the devil whispers in our ear and tries to get us to just quit. Don't worry about it. You've already blown it. Or it's not so bad or whatever the case may be. You know, we just get kind of off onto it and we don't do what we're supposed to do. And then the next thing he says, what? He says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we get to the point of saying, I don't have anything to get right with God about, I'm perfect. Right? Okay, you're a liar. I don't know about you, but there are times that I have to go daily to go, Lord, and say, Father, please forgive me. And it's right that I should. Lord, it's dark. I need some light. That's what 1 John 1:9 is all about. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what it's all about. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. If we sin and then say we fall to temptation, whatever the case, however you want to term it, and we say, well, it's not so bad. Well, you know, I know, but I mean, and we come up with an excuse why we don't need why we don't need light from heaven to get this thing right, to keep us in fellowship with our Lord, and we walk about as if everything's hunky dory. We're lying. The truth is not in us. We're walking around in the darkness. That's the whole point of 1 John 1:9. It's about fellowship. It's about walking with God. It's about having that type of relationship. It's about desiring it. If we couch it in terms of light, it's about, all right, I've sinned, there's darkness, I need light. God has the light. He is the light. Jesus is the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh in the world. He's the light of the world, and I'm supposed to be the light of the world. And I can't. He said, if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of what? Light. If thine eye be evil, the light of the body is the eye. If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. If thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If the light that is in thee is darkness, how great is that darkness? And what he's trying to say is, hey, believer, stop walking around in darkness and getting out of fellowship with your Father. Be quick when you see the darkness to call for a light. I mean, if it was pitch black in here and I didn't have a light on me, I'd say, hey, does somebody have a light I can't see? And you know, it's even more tragic because if it was pitch black in here, I have been here 100 times, 1,000 times, however many times I've been in this building, and I've looked at it, I've seen it, and everything like that. And you know what? I could in this place here. I could probably, by feel, by measuring my steps, I could move slow enough and careful enough to feel my way out and find the door. But when it comes to sin, when it comes to spiritual darkness, you and I are helpless. We can't get ourselves out. You, when you're lost, could you get yourself saved? Could you translate yourself out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light? No, you couldn't, could you? And when sin enters in, you can't fix it either, because it's the blood of Jesus that was shed for the sin. So the only way you can restore the fellowship is calling for the light. Is going to your Father and doing what he says, confessing and saying, hey, I'm in darkness. I need light. I need to be able to see properly. Father, I need to understand how to overcome this. I need the grace of God. I need mercy. I need grace. I need light. I don't need to tell you about the Word of God, do I? Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Right? We even sing about it, don't we? And then you don't open it. I talked about putting Bible verses up on Facebook. You know what I'm doing? I'm putting a light up there. Hoping that somebody will see the light and say, oh, there it is. I've been walking in darkness. There's light over there. The study of the Word, getting God's Word in our hearts, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. But he says, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. Don't sin. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. There he is. There's the light. It's right there at the right hand of the Father. The light of the world is our advocate. So when we talk about walking in the light, we can't do that without dealing with sin, can we? Can't do that without dealing with that. And notice he said, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. One of the things about walking in the dark, in the light, is you know what you can see? If you walk in the light, you can see the darkness. You can see where it's at, right? You can see where there's no light, can't you? If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. When we begin to fellowship with God, walk with fellowship in the light with God the way we should, when we study the Word of God and let it get in our heart, when we should, guess what that means? When sin does come, we see it as sin. We see it as darkness. And you know what we do? We can either avoid the darkness, or if we get to the point where we're in the darkness, we see it as darkness and see our need for the light. And we call for a light. That's what 1 John 1:9 is doing. It's talking about cleansing our sins away. But truly, the truth of the matter is the work's already been done, hasn't it? It's just the application. It's just taking that light that's been made available to us and applying it as we walk through this world, keeping us in fellowship with God. What keeps me in the light? The blood of Jesus. It cleanses us from all sin. We walk in the light. That's what it's talking about there. And I don't know what your fellowship with God is, but you know what? It's a shame. It is such a shame that so often that our fellowship with God suffers. You know, we talk about, Jesus talked about people praying in private. Go into your closet and pray to your Heavenly Father in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And some people, and he said, if you pray to be seen of men, verily I say unto you, you have your reward. That wasn't an indictment of public prayer. It was an indictment of the heart of the people that were praying. Public prayer is all the way through the Bible. There needs to be more of it, but it needs to be sincere. It needs to be from people. But you know what? If we don't ever go into our prayer closet, if we don't get alone with God, it's no wonder that our public prayer is hypocritical. Once again, I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. All I may be telling you is reminding you of things you should be doing. And you know what? That's why we don't have joy. To walk as a Christian should bring joy to your heart. Doesn't mean there won't be tribulation. Doesn't mean the world's going to join in. Matter of fact, they're going to be on the opposite side of this thing. They're going to be hostile. But you can still have joy. You can still walk in pleasure and everything. There's so many things. And I'm not talking about worldly pleasure. I'm talking about spiritual pleasure. I'm talking about having a sense of a pleasing sense of God's presence in your relationship with God. I'm talking about something deeper than just, you know, getting something that's yummy and tastes good or feels good to the flesh. I'm talking about something that is good down to your very soul. You know it's right. You know it's holy. You know it's good. You know it's forever and not temporary. That's the way our relationship with God should be. What's your relationship with God today? And you know, all of this that I've said is worthless if you're not saved, because you're in darkness. You know, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." If you're not saved, if you haven't trusted Christ your Savior, you're walking in darkness, and you're saying, "I hate the light." But when we get saved, that's when we acknowledge that Christ is the light, that He paid the penalty for our sins, that He rose from the dead, that He did all that the Bible says, and that we, without Him, have no hope. So therefore, we have to repent. We have to acknowledge ourselves as the sinners, as the ones that are unclean. We have to acknowledge ourselves as the ones who are unable, and we have to put our faith and trust in Him, believe that He did indeed pay that penalty, that He did rise from the dead. We need to put our faith and trust in Him. That's why the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you're lost, you need to be saved. But if you say, "Preacher, I'm saved, I'm a believer," how's your fellowship with God? If you're not walking in the light as He is in the light, if you can't see, you know, if you can't see the darkness to avoid it, then how can you be walking in the light? And if you do happen to get to the point to where you do sin as a Christian and you're walking in darkness, you ought to at least be able to see that, hey, it's dark here, I need light. And we ought to believe that Jesus is the light. And then we ought to come on the basis of His shed blood and confess our sins. And the Bible says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. A-double-L, all of it. Isn't that wonderful? God is saying, all right, you took the wrong turn, made the wrong decision, you're in darkness, but guess what? All you got to do is call on me and I'll turn the light back on. Our fellowship with God is suffers because we walk around in darkness. There's a lot of things that we do. We don't repent the way we should. You know, you may have a parent, I'll just give you an example. You might have a parent didn't do the right thing with their kids, and then they sit there and say, "Well, it's too late now." What do you mean it's too late? It's never too late to do the right thing. It's never too late. You say, "Well, I haven't prayed for my kids. They're already lost. They're gone." No, it's never too late. It's never too late to pray for your children. And it's always the right thing, isn't it? I mean, we can make a million excuses, but what we got to do is get to the point where we just start walking in the light as He is in the light. When we do that, we're just saying, "Well, it's always going to be dark." How do you know that? How could it always be dark when we have somebody, we have the light of the world as our advocate with the Father? How can it always be dark? I don't know where you are today. Maybe you feel that way. Maybe I've blown it, it's over. How could that be? How could it be no way back out of the darkness? How could that be when we have these promises? How's your fellowship with God? And more importantly, don't you realize that whatever your problem is, it can be fixed? That you can be back in fellowship with God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, you know every heart. You know every need. And I just pray, Lord, that you'd help us to just see the truth. I pray you'd help us to... Lord, we know when we're walking in darkness. And Lord, just help us to believe that the light is there and it's available. Help us to call upon our Savior and ask for forgiveness and ask for mercy and grace to help in time of need. Help us to believe His promise that when we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That from that point forward, we can start doing what we're supposed to do, and we can walk in the light. And Lord, we can have fellowship, and we can walk a holy life. And Lord, if we fall, help us to just get back up and believe you. No matter how many times it takes, just believe you. And Father, if there's one today that's lost, that doesn't know for sure if they died today, they'd go to heaven. I pray that today would be the day they'd understand how much you love them and what great danger they're in because of their sin, and that they need a Savior, and Jesus is that Savior, and that you sent Him to be the propitiation for their sins. And Lord, that He's the full payment. That He's paid it all. He's proved it by the resurrection, that He's paid everything. And now, even though the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, if there's one that's lost, we pray for their salvation today. And Father, as we close this service, I just pray you bless each one. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.